All right. Thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles to the last chapter of the book of Daniel this morning. Teaching time maybe is cut a little bit short, and we'll just off the cuff here speak on a little bit on a subject. Not have time to do much justice to it for sure. Last chapter of Daniel is chapter 12. And I'll probably maybe refer to some other verses if time allows, but let's start reading about verse 8 of Daniel chapter 12. And you'll see where I'm going here in just a little bit. Daniel speaking here, he says, "And I heard, but understood not." Now that's not my college class or my church. "I heard, but understood not." That tribe's still with us. Daniel said it was him, though. And here's God's servant, and yet he's got some questions. "Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" Everybody's got that question. What about the end? It's been in the news big time, hasn't it? All the history channels and everything. And the mind date, supposedly, has already come and gone on the 21st. I'm going to speak up just a little bit in defense of the Mayans. They did their calendar. They did it accurately. They're great mathematicians, astronomers, and all of that. The problem was not so much with what they done, but with everybody that was trying to interpret it. That's what you got to look out for, is all the interpreters. Nostradamus, for instance, he must be shocked to hear everything he said. Because they take a few mysterious, poetic quatrains or lines, and they interpret it any way they want to, say anything, put any kind of date on it. He probably got a few things right. I think maybe he did, but he sure didn't say all the stuff they're trying to say that he did. And neither did the Mayans. Yes, their calendar ended on that date, but then they found some more where some other things predicted after that, as far as the dates of the calendar. Truthfully, what they were saying was not necessarily the end of the world, but a new beginning is what they were saying. And everybody's so concerned with the end. I'm kind of glad in a way, because it gets attention to it. Actually, the fear is a good thing sometimes. They say there was about 12% of the population, by their stats, that was really afraid the end of the world was coming. So, as you saw on the news, people were building bomb shelters, stocking them with all kind of supplies and food and all. I'm not against having an extra can of beans around in case a hurricane comes or something. That's all right. Just common sense. But can't somebody think a little deeper that if the end of the world come, what good would a hole in the ground do you? If the world blows up, that hole's not gonna, man, it's gonna blow up too, amen? And it's amazing the poor thinking that goes on sometime with some of that stuff. Now, I tell you what it tells you about people. They don't have any other hope. They don't have any other hope. And that's sad. If you're saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're still looking for what the Bible calls the blessed hope. And that's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for those that are saved. So no need of me digging a hole in the ground and stocking it up with food. I'm sure preferring the hole in the sky that he's going to make for me. Amen. And so you get your thinking all messed up, but I'm surprised at the big money that was spent not only to make those documentary pictures on TV, but the big money that folks spent. I heard one guy saying, well, so far his bomb shelter had cost him $70,000. Well, just amazing the way the human mind works sometimes. Folks, if you want peace about how it's going to end, you get the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. He's your peace. He's your hope. He's your victory. He's your answer. And I hope you know that. Daniel said here, what shall be the end of these things? He's talking to the Lord, and the Lord answers him here. Verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel. Now, what does that mean? It just means keep on living. Keep on getting up and brushing your teeth in the morning. Keep on doing what you do. I've asked the question before and preached a sermon on it. What would you do if you knew you had 1 month to live, 1 week to live, 1 day to live? What would you do? Well, I'd hope you'd be living your life in the right way to where you could just keep on living it. That's what the Lord told Daniel to do. Just go your way. Go your way. Or it might be some folks you want to say, leave a last message with or something, but we as Christians ought to be living a lifestyle that we don't have to get all repaired and polished up to meet the Lord. Just be living for Him every day, doing what you know is right, and that you have peace about doing in His will. So he told Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. He don't say there won't be an end. He says till the time of the end. There is an appointed time. In fact, if you drop right over here to the previous chapter, picked it up in chapter 11, verse 27, he's talking about some things that are going to come. And right at the end of that verse 27, he says this, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Now, the Bible tells us no man knows the day nor the hour. Jesus said that. But the truth is God has an appointed time. I don't believe he's going to change it because of events that's happening on earth. I don't believe he's going to change it because of an election or a war or anything else. He's got an appointed time. I don't know it. You don't know it. I don't know if it'd make a great difference if we did, if there's some things we ought to change. And what behooves us to change them is the fact that we don't know when. It could be any day. It could be any minute that we would face the Lord, either through death or through the rapture, through Christ returning for the saved. Now, he told him, till the time of the end. Verse 10, he tells what's going to happen in the meantime. Any of you ever read those little old Western books when you was a kid? You probably didn't, girls, but little Gene Autry, Roy Rogers books. You know, remember them? Comic books even, remember them? See, we didn't have TVs to watch, and taught us to read. Anyway, do you ever remember it would say something like this, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Remember that? Meanwhile. Well, this is meanwhile right here that the Lord is talking to Daniel about here. And he says, meanwhile, I'm adding that in verse 10, many shall be purified and made white, and I hate to have to say this last word, and tried. That's what's going on. Many are made white in the righteousness of Christ, and they're purified in Jesus, but they're also tried. We do live in this old world where we're tested, where we're tried, where we're challenged, no doubt about it. Then he crosses the fence here with the word but. But always crosses to the opposite side of the road now. But the wicked shall do what? Just what you're reading in the news, just what you're hearing on TV, just what you're experiencing. The wicked shall do what? They're going to do wickedly. You can trust on that. I guarantee you they are. And some of it seems to be getting more horrible all the time. But the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. They don't understand. You're reading the New Testament about the Lord predicting Romans 1 that some would be turned over to reprobate mind. The context of that reprobate mind is homosexuality and the sin of it. Reprobate mind, perverse thinking, thinking we can't hardly imagine. I can't think of somebody in any kind of way normal being involved in that. I can't think of anybody so wicked that they'd go in a classroom and shoot up innocent kids. I can't hardly get a hold of that, but yet the Bible says that's what they will do. They will do, the wicked will do wickedly. And it says none of the wicked shall understand. And hey, by the way, there's a lot of wicked in high places that don't understand. Just because somebody has an education in this world don't make them good. That old depraved nature is still there. That old sinful nature, they'll still do wicked. Every now and then we seem to have the shock of somebody in a high place being caught out in sin. Happens all the time in the news. And what it amounts to is that's the fallen nature of man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 is none righteous, no, not one. And so it fits right in here. But again, we have the word but, conjunction, B-U-T. But again, it changes the truth. It always crosses the street to the opposite truth. While the wicked will do wickedly and not understand, but, opposite now, the wise shall understand. So who is the wise? Somebody that's got a doctor's degree? Not necessarily. Who is the wise? Somebody that's made a lot of money? Not necessarily. Wisdom may help in that, but the wise shall understand. The Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ has made our wisdom. The Bible tells us if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so real wisdom sometimes is not measured by the world's degrees, but what we know between us and the Lord, how we receive his wisdom. And he's willing to give it. It's not that we can't get wisdom from God. It's just a lot of folks don't like his advice. They don't want to take it. They don't want to act on it. I pastored long enough to, many times had folks come to me for advice. And when I gave it to them, it was water on a duck's back. They really wasted my time and theirs. They had no intentions whatsoever of lining up with what God's book said. And, of course, they reap for that. But the wise shall understand. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, no Bible scholar I know can get all these days guaranteed here. There's a little variation in them. I'll say something about them, and that's not really my point right now. But this is talking about a time element near the end. The world is so mixed up on this thing called the end of the world. They think the end of the world comes with a great big bang. It just blows up, burns up, passes away. And there are churches and scholars, so-called, that teach that. It's called just a general judgment. The world disappears and you stand before God. Well, the Bible doesn't line that up. It gives you a different scenario. It gives you events that must be involved. And so he says here, something is going to happen. Daily sacrifice is going to be taken away. Now, if you went back to verse 1 in this 12th chapter, you'd find out, verse 1 there, that he's talking to Daniel's people. Who was Daniel's people? They were the Jews. And when he's talking about the daily sacrifice, he's talking about the Jewish temple that was first built by Solomon. God wouldn't let David do it because he was a man of war, but let his son Solomon build the temple. That temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And later on, we know that it was another temple rebuilt in the days of Herod, the one that Jesus walked and taught in. And we know in AD 70 that the Roman emperor came in, and again, all this was judgment of God that he had predicted and pronounced and destroyed the temple. And from that day to this, since AD 70, there's been no Jewish temple. You see it in the news. You see the Wailing Wall. You see the Mosque of Omar with its gold dome, a brass dome over there, trying to set on Zion's hill. But the Bible predicts there will be a rebuilt Jewish temple, and there will be a sacrifice offered. And therefore, when we read this verse, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, and by the way, chapter 11 here, which we don't have time for, gives you so much description about the Antichrist and what he's going to do. And so when we get down to the end of the book here of Daniel, there's going to be a daily sacrifice, probably that the Antichrist in his peace pact with Israel has allowed them to start offering again. But then he's going to stop it. He's going to take it away. And it says in verse 11, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Something is going to take place. It took place in history as a prototype or picture before Christ was born. There was a Syrian ruler by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes that came in and conquered Jerusalem for a bit there. And in fact, you heard me say it recently, we're nearing Christmas, and you'll hear the Jews say, Happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah comes from the time that this Syrian ruler, Antiochus Epiphanes, came in, conquered Jerusalem, stopped the sacrifice in the temple, just like the Antichrist will yet do, and he offered a sow, a hog, on the altar to blaspheme the Jews. He stopped their worship and so forth. But he did that before Jesus was born. When Jesus was having his ministry and getting closer to the end, you can read it in Matthew chapter 24, it's called the Olivet Discourse, where the disciples ask him about the things of the end. And he told them, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, all right, Jesus was quoting what we're reading right here out of Daniel. Now, some want to say, well, that happened in the past because the Syrian ruler did that. Yes, he did. He was a type of the Antichrist. But Jesus said in the future, Daniel spoke of an abomination of desolation that is yet to take place. You see, when Antiochus Epiphanes came in and sacrificed the sow or offered the sow on the altar, that was about 637 BC before Christ. Daniel here is in the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans and Babylon about 500 BC. So that had already happened when Daniel wrote the book, and Daniel said the abomination of desolation is yet future. Jesus said it was yet future. I'm saying to you it's yet future because I'm going on the word of the Lord, what he said. So it's yet future. So before the world's going to blow up, some things have got to happen. I believe the Jewish temple is going to be back in operation. I believe the Antichrist will allow sacrifice being offered by the Jews. They can't offer one now. Not legal for the Jews to cut a lamb's throat now. That will stop because the temple was destroyed. There's only one place they can offer it, and that's on Mount Zion. That's in the temple. Therefore, today, when the Jews celebrate Passover, they don't have a real lamb. They have a bone shank representing a lamb, but they can't offer a bloody sacrifice until they get the temple back. But when they do, under maybe a peace treaty with the Antichrist, they'll be able to start that sacrifice. But then something's going to happen. This Antichrist, who will seem like a man of peace at the time, is going to show his true colors. And here it is in the verse. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination of desolation that maketh desolate is set up, there'll be 1,290 days. Now, the Antichrist, according to what Paul said to the Thessalonian church, he's going to come into the temple and declare that he is God, that he is the one who deserves worship. That's when the abomination of desolation takes place. That's when the Jews are going to recognize him as the fake. And that's when things are really going to get bad. No time to get into all that detail. I'm saying the truth is there's some things yet going to happen before planet Earth blows up. And they haven't happened yet. Now, that does not mean something's got to happen before the trumpet can sound and you and I that are saved can go up. You know, when a country starts to have war with another country, they generally call its ambassadors home. You notice that? Do you know who you are if you're saved? You're left here as to being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Just before he comes back in judgment, he's going to call out his ambassadors. That's you and I. We speak in Christ's stead. We witness to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. And we know some things are coming, and they're coming fast, and all the signs of the Bible being fulfilled, and all that. Now, we know from the book of Revelation that in that tribulation period, and by the way, drop back up, go back to this same chapter since it's closed, chapter 12. Pick it up in verse 1 with me. And at that time shall Michael stand up, archangel, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, Daniel's people, the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble. What's the next statement? Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, what is being said here? A time is coming. It's going to be the greatest trouble the Jews have ever had, greater than their trouble with Hitler. It's called the tribulation period by we Christians. The length of it's given in Daniel chapter 9, when we figure up it's 7 years long. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, it has a title that's put on it. It's called the Day of Jacob's Trouble. Jacob, a synonym for Israel, Jacob's Trouble. And with that period of time, it's going to be greater trouble than it's ever been. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 24. We got somebody coming in the back, or is it? It's a little bit early anyway. I got to deal with that. Anyway, Jesus said the same thing. He said it would be a time of trouble like never was before. And with that thought in mind, that has not yet happened, folks. We may get our taxes raised, look like we sure are. We are persecuted as in Christianity today, increasingly all the time. Still nothing to match what our forefathers had to go through. We're not in the tribulation period now. I got a letter from a fellow recently telling me that we were in the millennial reign and it ended on the 11th of December. The 1,000 years that Satan has been tied. He's been chained. According to the book of Revelation, he will be chained for 1,000 years. But that's future. That's the millennial reign. That's the kingdom age. To imagine he's been chained for the last 1,000 years, if he has, he's got some helpers that's doing some real bad work. Like the grandma said, when the grandson came home from college and he'd learned some of this liberal stuff, and he said, "Grandma, quit fussing about the devil bothering you. I found out he's been chained." She said, "Then, grandson, he's got a mighty long chain. He's still doing his work, amen." I can't imagine thinking like that. Not when you read the Bible correctly. No, he's not been chained yet. He is doing his dirt. In fact, the Bible says he'll increase his activity because he knows he's got a short time. He knows time's running out on him. He'll increase his evil work. And I believe that's the day we're seeing, at least beginning now. It seems like it gets worse all the time the more we look at it. Is there a time coming that the world is going to blow up and burn? Yes, there is. If you want to turn to it, you can go to 2 Peter chapter 3. But it's a long way yet before it happens. I'll read to you out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter said, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing," verse 8. "That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward." You know where we're living right now, folks? We're living in that longsuffering. "Not willing that any should perish." God don't want you to die lost and go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You got a choice. You can change. You can repent and come to Christ from return from your way to his way. I'm reading on. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." I'm going to drop on down for time's sake, though. Look what it says in verse 13. "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Oh yeah, this old earth one day is going to be purified by fire, but the Lord's going to give us something better, amen? A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So the next folks you hear word about digging a hole in the ground and preparing for the end of the world, Little student came up to me in our college, I guess about a junior high, and all this news on the mines and the end of the world. He said, "Preacher, you believe it could be anything to it?" I said, "No, those folks didn't have a Bible." And that's the truth. Aren't you glad you got God's word?